From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues this series of studies in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, A Faith That Brightens Even the Grave, focusing on the death scenes of Jacob, Isaac, and Joseph. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Possess, Not Only Profess. The text is Matthew chapter 13 and verse 12. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. When the Lord has given to a man much grace, he will give him more. A little faith is a nest egg. More faith will come to it. But then it must not be seeming faith, but real and true. What a necessity is laid upon us to make sure work in religion, and not to profess much and possess nothing. For one of these days the very profession will be taken from us, if that be all we have. The threatening is as true as the promise. Blessed be the Lord. It is his way, when he has once made a beginning, to go on bestowing the graces of his Spirit, till he who had but little, and yet truly had that little, is made to have abundance. Oh, for that abundance! Abundance of grace is a thing to be coveted. It would be well to know much, but better to love much. It would be delightful to have abundance of skill to serve God, but better still, to have abundance of faith to trust in the Lord for skill and everything. Lord, since thou hast given me a sense of sin, deepen my hatred of evil. Since thou hast caused me to trust Jesus, raise my faith to full assurance. Since thou hast made me to love thee, cause me to be carried away with vehement affection for thee.
Thank you.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? Or, how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it for you. The text for this, the 10th message in this series in Hebrews chapter 11, is verses 20 through 22, verses which speak of the faith of three outstanding Old Testament saints, Jacob, Isaac, and Joseph. Essentially, the passage records three death scenes, and they reveal the expectancy and the confidence with which these men faced eternity. The message is entitled, A Faith That Brightens Even the Grave. Dr. Cairns is focusing on three thoughts embodied in these verses, faith, family, and the future. Now, to continue this message, A Faith That Brightens Even the Grave, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
I want us to think this morning upon a faith that brightens even the grave. I said there were some things here that would be good at any time, but certainly are very, very apt at a Thanksgiving time. When you look at these three men and these three verses of Scripture and think of their faith that brightens the grave, we think of their faith, of their family, and of their future. Those are the three leading thoughts in the text. And they are obviously three thoughts that are very close to the Thanksgiving season. The idea of faith. America today should not be celebrating technological advance. It should not be celebrating Republican government. It should be celebrating the gift of God. Faith. And uppermost in the minds of Americans today should be family, in the light of faith. I was reading a statement by T. DeWitt Talmage, the great pulpit orator of the last century. And he was warning this republic. And he reminded them that in France in the year before the revolution, in Paris, there had been 80,000 divorces. 80,000 wrecked homes in Paris the year before all hell was let loose and blood flowed like rivers. I thought, you know, that that is an infinitesimal figure compared to what's happening today. We would do well to remember that the strength of America is not in its government, not in its system. No system is better than the men who run it. Israel had a theocracy and yet came under an awful curse because the men who were in power were men of sin. And so America cannot depend upon her system, but must, through faith, give biblical attention to the family. And then, of course, there is the thought of the future. At Thanksgiving, you look back upon the past. God hath done great things, but you'd be a fool to be looking back over a couple of hundred years without paying attention to 1989. Without paying attention to what's looming ahead for this nation. Because we do well to consider the future, and them not only of the nation, but our own future, stretching way beyond time. So the themes here are Thanksgiving themes, though they are themes that we will develop, not in connection with that solely, but really as they touch our own lives, homes, and souls. Now let's think of their faith. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying. By faith, Joseph, when he died. And by faith, Isaac, when he thought he was in the point of death. I want you to notice that the light of faith dispelled the darkness of death. These men, each one, was in communion with God. And God was in communion with them. As I pondered this, I thought very simply that there are only two ways to die. You die in the light, or you die in the dark. I think one of the most terrible things that's ever said of Judas Iscariot is that he went out and hanged himself. And then the postscript. And it was night. Over a lot of graves, or a lot of deathbeds, you can write, "And it was night." Only two ways to die. Either in the light or in the night. And I wonder what it would be with you. We read that these men died in the light. Their faith in their God dispelled the darkness of death. The second thing I want you to notice here is that they believed in the hour of death what they had believed in their life. The Word of God had been their stay throughout the days of their lives, and it remained so in the hour of their death. These men had been standing on a promise true and firm. Now when the hour of death came, they were still standing on that promise. They didn't have to change what they believed at the hour of their death. Now, I am not for a moment trying to undercut the mercy of God or to deny that there are instances such as the dying thief when the Lord gives special grace, and when in the hour of death a man changes what he believed and came to Jesus Christ. I realize that can happen. But I would suggest to you that it doesn't normally happen. We often hear, "Well, what about the dying thief? Well, what about the dying thief?" There actually is some controversy as to whether there were two thieves and two malefactors, four criminals dying with Christ, or whether thieves and malefactors are just descriptions of the same people. Some controversy there. But take it either way. If there were only two criminals dying with Christ, then what about the dying thief? One was converted, but the other wasn't. If there were four criminals dying with Christ, as some commentators think, and interestingly, just as a sidelight, there is an ancient monument in France going way back to very early times, where they raised crosses in memory of Calvary, and they had five crosses with Christ in the middle. So it's obviously an ancient interpretation. But if there were four criminals died with Christ, then again, what about the dying thief? Sure, the Lord gave him grace and he turned to Christ. But what about the other three who did not turn to Christ? The Word of God is very clear that you should prepare to meet your God. Very, very few people ever have A, the opportunity, or B, the grace to change what they believe in the hour of their death. First of all, many people do not have a deathbed. Comes instantaneously. There is no moment of time left to them even to think about changing, repenting, praying and believing. Second, as I have indicated, very often when there is a deathbed, it is accompanied with such physical agony, such mental exhaustion, such drug-induced stupor. Someone has well said that medical science, though we thank God for all that it can do to ease pain and suffering, yet in cases where a dying, unsaved man is going out into eternity, medical science simply can make the transition from earth to hell painless until the soul gets to hell. But given the physical weakness, the mental lethargy, the drug-induced stupor, you can see that it is very, very, very unlikely that people have an opportunity to change what they believe in the hour of their death. These people of whom we have been reading believed in death what they had believed in life. They enjoyed in death what they had enjoyed in life. They had come to know their God in good time. Now they were ready to die. And they found that what they believed in life could stand the test of death, because God's truth will always stand up to that ultimate test. The comfort of the gospel is not lessened by our last extremity. You know, so often Satan tries to cause fear to a soul, especially years before God expects him to die. The devil comes and tries to afflict a Christian with fear of death. Maybe you would not have the power and the grace, the strength and the faith to face death. Well, I think that you're well to remember that the Lord needs now to give you and me grace to live. And when we come to die, he'll give us grace to die. There's no use worrying about tomorrow and worrying about what's down the line. We need to give our concern to what's happening today. You remember even in Pilgrim's Progress that Christian had great fears of the water of the river of death. It appeared to him that he was going to sink. But then you see the Lord came and the Lord carried him through. The Lord will always give his word and the Lord will always show his face. The psalmist said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." The shepherd's rod, the shepherd's staff, they comfort me. You see, these people of whom we have read were convinced that all the Lord had promised, he was able to perform. So, in their faith, we find that it lightened the darkness of death. They believed in death what they had believed in life. But I want you to notice particularly that their eyes were firmly and specifically fixed on Christ. Isaac, when he blessed his son Jacob, spoke to Jacob about the sovereignty that was so much a part of the Abrahamic covenant. The sovereignty of the line of Abraham. Well, you know, that sovereignty was in the seed, which was Christ. And Isaac was speaking of Christ preeminently. When Jacob came to die and blessed his grandsons, he spoke of the angel who had delivered him from his enemies and from death, and who would yet be the great blesser of Ephraim and of Manasseh. And that angel of the covenant is Christ. Joseph died speaking again of the covenant of God with Abraham. And Paul assures us in Galatians 3 that the essence and substance of the covenant was Christ. In every case, their eyes were fixed on Christ. You know, that's how to live. And that's how to die. Turn your eyes on Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.